8 as we continue studying David together. Might be our last Sunday to look at David. It's our 19th week to look at King David. Looked at Saul for 11 weeks. And we've learned a lot about the heart of David and why he was a man after God's own heart. And here in chapter 29, we see David. Actually, we'll go to chapter 28. Sorry. We'll see David's instructions and final charge to his son Solomon. Remember, there was a little disagreement there about Adonijah, and that got taken care of, thankfully, with no death or civil war this time. And now Solomon has been crowned, if you will, as the new king. So here in chapter 28, David gives his final instructions and charge to his son Solomon, starting in verse 11, Brother Scott, down through the end of the chapter. If you could read that, and then we'll pray.
Then David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch, and of the houses thereof, and of the treasury thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of dedicated things, also for the horses of the priests and the Levites, and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the vessels of service in the house of the Lord. He gave of gold by weight, all things of gold, for all instruments of all manner of service, silver also, for all instruments of silver by weight, for all instruments of every kind of service, in the weight, for the candlesticks of gold, and for the lamps of gold, by weight for every candlestick, and for the lamps thereof, and for the candlesticks of silver by weight both, for the candlestick and also for the lamps thereof, according to the use of every candlestick. And by weight he gave gold for the tables of the showbread, for every table, and likewise silver for the tables of silver, also pure gold for the fresh cooks, and the bowls, and the cups, and for the golden basins he gave gold by weight for every basin, and likewise silver by weight for every basin of silver, and for the altar of incense refined gold by weight, and gold for the pattern of the chariot of the cherubims, and that spread out their wings, and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord. All this did David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing skillful man, for any manner of service, also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom as we continue looking at David and Solomon. Guide us and teach us and change us through thy powerful word. And meet with us now, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. So notice he told his son there in verse 20, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, the Lord thy God is with thee. Sound familiar? Very similar to the charge that God gave to Joshua years before. And this is where you probably noticed, because we're going through Exodus right now on Sunday nights, they're about to basically build essentially a tabernacle, but this time it's a temple. But they're following the same pattern as far as the furniture and so forth in the temple that was given for the tabernacle, which was the traveling tent in the desert. All the same furniture, all the same. And as we talked last week, in today's monies, billions of dollars worth of gold and silver were involved in the building of the first temple. And so David has collected all the materials, collected all the workers. Remember, he spent many chapters. I had you read that as your homework, chapters 23 through 27, appointing all these different people to help build the temple. And then he now is going to address the people here in chapter 29 regarding a final offering for the temple. So, Howard, if you could read 1 through 9.
Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for men, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things from silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, the wood for things of wood, onyx stone and stones to be set, glistening stones, and of divers colours, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affections to the house of my God, I have of my own copper gold and good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the houses withal, the gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly, and gave for the service of the house of the Lord of gold 5,000 talents, and 10,000 rams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they, with whom precious stones were found, gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gishonite. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because the perfect art they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with a great voice.
So they took up an offering to pay the workers and also to finish the temple. And as we're going to see, they gave too much. Isn't that something? But did you see how much gold they gave? 5,000 talents of gold. Now in today's monies, a talent of gold would probably be worth $5,000 or so. And they gave 5,000 talents. So what is that? $25 million? Worth of gold. That's a lot of gold. And the people did it willingly. They gave up their gold, their silver, and precious stones, all for this first temple to be built unto the Lord. So then David gives his thanksgiving and prayer. Brent, if you would read 10 to 19.
Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great, and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after the sword? All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all the store that we have prepared to build thee in house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart, keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things and to build the palace for which I have made provision.
Amen. So what do we see in this prayer, in this expression of thanksgiving? Do you notice anything there as far as David's heart and his understanding about what we have? Yes, Beryl? So he's giving God all the glory. What else? He's acknowledging, you probably noticed, that it's all God's anyway. And this is important. Did you notice verse 14? All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. So we've just given to you what's already yours, because you own everything. And so we see that David understood that we are just, what's the word in the New Testament? We're just stewards. Amen? That God owns everything. He says, every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle upon a thousand hills. God owns it all. And he's acknowledging, God, you own everything. We've just given back a bit of what you've given to us, which is what we often pray at offering time, isn't it? This is where we get that from, is from David's prayer. And so we're starting to see here at the end more and more of David's heart. Any other thoughts or anything you notice there before he closes out the proceedings and essentially dies? Yes, Mark?
Yes, I suppose it's right that David went back also to Abraham, Isaac, these symbols of Israel's, the nation of Israel and that there. And we can look at that in a sense, we know Israel failed a number of occasions, you know, but it's just having nowhere their bedrock is in God, and let these men that know serve God and work with God in a sense. So he's going back to the, and we can't really say, but we can say to our probably our grandparents and so forth that they were people or ladies of God, but we can't transfer that to us because it's an individual faith, whereas the nation of Israel,
right,
it's more of a nation of Israel as opposed to an individual, in our case, from the
age of grace. Amen. Yes. And in doing that, he is still claiming, if you will, the promises that God made to Abraham and to Isaac and to Israel. He's saying, Lord, you make promises to these men. We're their descendants, and we're believing that you're still going to keep your promises to your people to give us the land and so forth. So, very good. Anything else before he closes out the proceedings here? Roy here? Yep, Roy. So if you could read for us 20 to 22.
David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation bless the Lord God of their fathers, and bow down their heads, and worship the Lord and the King. They sacrificed unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord. And the morrow after their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. They did eat and drink before the Lord on that day with great gladness. They made Solomon, the son of David, king the second time, and anointed him unto the Lord to be the chief governor and Zadok the priest.
Imagine it, offering 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs in one day. That's a lot of blood. That's a lot of animals to kill, isn't it? Can't even picture it. 1,000. 3,000 animals they killed in one day. Just reminding mankind that it takes blood. Amen? It's a lot of innocent animals died only to shed their blood as an offering unto the Lord. So then David gives his, if you go to 1 Kings chapter 2, he gives his final words to his son. So, Mark, if you could read verses 1 and 9 of 1 Kings 2. Yes, please.
Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth, and be thou strong therefore, and shew thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk his way, to keep his statutes and his commandments, and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever they turn it thyself. That the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart, and with all their soul, they shall not fail thee, said he, the man of the throne of Israel. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zerah, did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner, the son of Ner, and to Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he slew, and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle, that was about his loins, and in his shape, that were of his feet. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his poor head go down to the grave in peace, but show kindness unto the sons of Azurai, the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table, for so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom, thy brother. And behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite of Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the days when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will put thee to death with the sword. Now therefore, hold them not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto them. But his forehead, bring thou down to the grave.
Amen. And then verse 10, he slept with his fathers. David was 70 years old when he died, a man of war. And if you go back to 1 Chronicles 29, we'll finish out David's life, and then we will have a peek in the Psalms just to get another glimpse into his heart. So notice in 1 Kings 29, it says in verse 28, 1 Chronicles 29, sorry, verse 28, it says, and he died in a good old age, full of days, riches and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his stead. Verse 30, and with all his reign and his might, and all the times that went after him, and over Israel, and over all the kingdoms of the countries. So he reigned for 40 years. From when he was 30 until he was 70 and died at 70 years old, Solomon is now the new king. So we've talked a lot about him being a man after God's own heart. Amen? To study the Psalms, even just the 75 that David wrote, would take, what, a year? So we're not going to do that, but we will have a quick glimpse this morning and just see his heart. I know you read the Psalms and you see it all the time. David didn't write all of them. He only wrote half of them. But he did reveal through the Psalms his love for God, his love for God's Word. And so let's just have a quick peek at some. Let's go to Psalm 19. And we're only going to look at Psalms that David wrote, or that we know David wrote. Many of the Psalms, we don't know who wrote them because the Bible doesn't tell us. So these are just the Psalms that we know David wrote because it says so in the Scriptures. Notice here in Psalm 19, it says a psalm of David. So we know that David wrote this one. And we see his love for God's word. We sing verses 7 to 10 as one of our scripture songs, right? Verse 10, most of you know by heart, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Isn't that wonderful? So that's Psalm 19. What's that, Kat?
That one today, I don't know.
Yeah, just remind us.
Thank you.
And then if you go to Psalm 40, verse 8, we'll also see that he loved God's word. Well, loves. He's in heaven. So again, we're only going to look at Psalms that we know he wrote for a fact, but Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Now, Psalm 119, which is the longest psalm in the Bible, the author's not given, but I think if you read it enough times, you see David's imprint on it, and most people believe David wrote it, but we can't say it definitively because the Bible doesn't tell us. David loved the Word of God. No question there. David also loved the house of God. Let's go to Psalm 122, verse 1. Brandon, if you could read that for us. Psalm 122, verse 1. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Let us go into the house of the Lord. David also was a man of praise. We've already seen that many times, but let's look at some Psalms. 34, verse 1, Cash. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And then 145, 21, Cash, also. We're only just doing some samples this morning just to get a glimpse of David's heart. 145, 21.
My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever.
Amen. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. One of the Psalms of David. David was also very thankful. You go to Psalm 26, James, and read verses 6 and 7 for us.
I will wash my hands in innocency, so will I come to thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works.
Tell of all thy wondrous works. We also sing Psalm 100, do we not? David wrote that one. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. And you know the rest because you sing it all the time. David wrote that. David was very open and honest about his sin, wasn't he? And we find that in Psalm 51 more than any other psalm. We've already read it, but you all know the psalm where he said, against thee, the only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Create in me a clean heart, and so forth. David was very openly repentant. He was also very prayerful. Look at 55:17. Kian, if you could read that for us.
Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and thee shall hear my voice.
Amen. And then go to 139, if you would. And we see the openness of David. David's willingness for God to point out areas in his life. How many millions of Christians have been blessed by Psalm 139 in the past? Well, even people before Jesus had Psalm 139. But look at verse 4. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Verses 7 and 8. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. And then 23 is the song that we sing. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is David. God wrote this through David. So very prayerful, repentant, thankful, a man of praise. He loved the Word. He loved the house of God. But he was a man of faith and trust, wasn't he? And that's really the heart of David. Go to Psalm 17, if you would. And David was constantly expressing his faith and trust in the Lord. Kelvin 17:15.
As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake and with thy likeness.
Now that's faith, isn't it? There's going to come a day when I awake with thy likeness. In other words, I will see God again. That was Psalm 17:15. 19:14, turn over there, and we'll see David's trust. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 27. I know a lot of you have memory verses in Psalm 27. Verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And then look at Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3. Brad, if you could read that.
I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me out also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my garment. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord.
Amen. I know most of you read that. Go to Psalm 56, 3 and 4. And we see that David wholly trusted the Lord. Psalm 56, verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. So we see the heart of David in the Psalms in such a beautiful way. Any thoughts or questions before we finish with the most well-known psalm in the Bible? Anybody? As we finish out looking at David's life for 19 weeks. Did you learn anything from David? Were you blessed by David? Anybody? Anything at all? It would have been amazing. But of course, it was torn down when they were taken captive and it was carried away. But it would have been a sight to behold for sure. So a lot of gold, a lot of silver, a lot of brass went into that. Anything else? The Psalms of David. We could take the next 6 months and go through them, but we won't. But we see his heart. And he remembered, the only one in the Bible, of all the characters in the Bible, the only one that God said he was a man after God's own heart. Anything else that you learned from David, you were blessed by, Tanya?
It's good to see that even though you make mistakes, and make huge mistakes like David did, but if you accept that you are sinful and that you have a repentant heart, instead of trying to, go away and make sure that somebody else takes that blame, but he took the blame and he learned from it, that God will honor that and love you despite your flaws. And so that's why it's such a beautiful character to study, because he wasn't a perfect person, but God loved him because he loved God.
Amen. Where would we be without Psalm 51? Such an amazing psalm. Anyone else? So anybody ever heard of Psalm 23? Philip, why don't you read that for us? And we'll be finished. Most famous psalm in the Bible, even among the world, is Psalm 23. And it is a psalm of David, the shepherd's psalm. David started as a young shepherd boy, didn't he? And this first phrase, sorry, Philip, Jesus, when he was preaching in John chapter 10, he said, what? I am the good shepherd. When he said that, you know who he was claiming to be? Jehovah of Psalm 23:1. Sorry, Philip, go ahead.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, and leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. My rod and my staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord.
Many say it's one of the most beautiful pieces of writing in human history. I wouldn't argue with that. Psalm 23. How many funerals, how many millions and millions of funerals has this been read at? How many millions and millions of Christians had read this psalm? Yes, Kat?
I had to have 8 weeks of radiation due to my breast cancer, and during the radiation sessions, I would recite this psalm. Also Psalm 91, which is very powerful. And that really helped my spirit get through that time. It was really difficult.
Amen. And I'm sure that testimony has been repeated literally millions of times. That's the... Amen. But the power of, and comfort of God's Word.
Yeah.
I couldn't do Psalm 91 because we don't know if it was written by David.
It
might have been written by Solomon. We don't know. Any other thoughts or questions before we close? I hope you enjoyed our study of David. And next week we continue our study of Solomon, the third king of Israel. Anyone? Brent, can you close us in prayer?
Thank you, dear Lord God, for the opportunity.